Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. Wisconsin, the state of cheese, makes half of the nation's specialty cheese and wins more awards than any other state or country. Our heritage and traditions, master cheesemaker program, and the American propensity for innovation all put Wisconsin on the cutting wedge of cheesemaking. With over 600 varieties of cheese to choose from and 5,500 national and international awards and counting, get ready to turn your refrigerator into a trophy case. Enjoying a Wisconsin cheese is basically like winning a gold medal in culinary achievement. Set your mind at cheese. When you bite into a wedge of Wisconsin Wonderful, you know it is made with the ultimate skill and passion possible. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
I'm Lou Bank.
I am Chopper Iwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Green Gex bartenders better understand agave spirits in rural Mexico. And this is the third of three parts of our sustainability miniseries.
Woohoo!
And that constitute our sustainability miniseries.
I mean, we're going to do more stuff because I really think these are too general, and I would love to get more into specifics further on. But I think the question that you proposed for this episode specifically, it's really funny. It's like, after everything we've said, Do people care about this? Do consumers, do the people buying the spirits actually, even if you do all the work, you do a gorgeous website with all the numbers certified by the leading scientists on the field and everything is there, would you get more sales because you are not destroying Mexico?
Well, those are two different actual questions that you've asked.
Okay. Take whatever one you prefer.
well, right? Like this whole series was actually sparked by an article in 750 Daily recently that the title of which was How to Optimize Your Spirit Selection for Sales. Yeah. And there was one of the things that you could do to optimize your spirit selection for sales is to include sustainability as a core tenet of your marketing.
So to say, drink this because this is green.
But yeah, not like chartreuse green, but yes, in essence that. And so they quoted this research study from IWSR, which very specifically focuses on the spirits industry. I don't know what the letters stand for. I tried to figure it out from their website, but I couldn't. And we'll put a link to this up there. But they had a study in 2022 called Key Trends Driving the Global Beverage Alcohol Industry in 2022.
And one of them was sustainability, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So what it said was that nearly half of all alcohol consumers say sustainability practices influence whether they buy from a company or not.
Oh, I mean, that's so bizarre to me because from all the industries that I've ever done research about, I don't think that I've ever seen a group of industries that have worse websites.
Well, even,
even really large, like tequila or mezcal or rum brands, you go to their website and it looks like a teenager put it together.
Are you saying that basically, if sustainability were an issue driving sales, that they should do a better job of telling their sustainability stories?
Well, if they did, their web, like even if you go to a bunch of, go to like even Diplomático's website, like just big brands, even their most basic stuff of their process is hard to find on their websites. And then on top, their social responsibility or sustainability practices. I mean, I went to the Terra Mana one, and the only thing they say is that they donate bottles for NGOs if they do an event.
Which is the case with most spirit brands, honestly.
And I would like to think that they do other stuff, but it's absolutely not present, at least on their websites.
Right. But, you know, but in essence, what you're saying is nobody's telling that story. And therefore, it can't be. But I'd say some people are telling that story, and it's rarely the best-selling brands that are. I don't think consumers, like to say nearly half of all alcohol consumers say sustainability practices influence whether they buy from a company or not is patently ridiculous.
Well, maybe it's just if you ask that question to not only alcohol, but humans in general. Well, do you care about something not destroying the world? Yes, of course I do. Who's gonna answer? Gonna answer no?
Which is sort of my point. It's why I've never believed in focus group marketing. I think it's all bullshit nonsense that people will say what they think you want to hear in any one of these situations, or they'll say what they actually think they believe, which is really different than what they do, what their actual behavior is when they're standing in that grocery store aisle.
Yes. I mean, I was, believe it or not, I bought the Harvard Business School magazine when I was at the airport because I was bored out of my mind. I was like, this looks like something bizarre to do. And they had this whole argument about how bad reviews can actually foster sales for a company.
which is the whole marketing campaign behind Malort.
Exactly. So no, Malort does it differently. But what they were saying is that somehow, and I think this is going to touch on the sustainability part, but that somehow the identities of people have become really merged with certain brands. A lot of the way that people build their personalities are sometimes attached to certain brands. And if somebody attacks that brand, that they feel defensive because they're not attacking the brand, they're attacking them. So they're more prompt to buying something to support the brand, to defend it from those terrible people that don't like it. I think that maybe that is like I was complaining a little bit about alcohol websites, right? And I think it's because most of them are like managed by older people. But then I look into the seltzer stuff, like a lot of the hard seltzer stuff that it's like clearly younger people doing that. And their websites are way better. They have more information. They talk about the properties of the seltzer and whatnot. So I think that younger generations are asking more questions about the stuff they're consuming because it's such a part of how they build their personalities. I mean, including me, to be absolutely honest.
Okay, but the fact that you do it and some others do it is not evidence that half the consumers actually care. So let's look at hard seltzer, right? You and I both know the best-selling brand of hard seltzer, right?
Which one is it? I'm not
White
sure.
Claw.
Is it?
That's it, White Claw. So I just now pulled up, as you and I are talking, pulled up the White Claw website. And the options in the menu are buy now, flavors, new, tour, deep dive, events, FAQs, contact. So let's assume deep dive is going to be the thing that talks about sustainability, shall we?
I love it. Yes, let's do that.
Okay, I click on it. Deep dive. White Claw presents Deep Dive. There are those who bring the wave in life, never backing down from a challenge, seizing every opportunity. This all-new series goes deeper into the lives of pure optimism, one question at a time. So it looks like it's just a series... A series of documentaries about pro skimboarder Blair Conklin, eco board shaper Ryan Harris. Okay, so that's clearly not going to be their sustainability story. Let's look at FAQs, frequently asked questions. How can we help you today? What are the ingredients in nutrition? What are the ingredients in nutrition? Where to buy? Where can I buy? About us. How can I invest in the company? Sponsorships.
Okay.
Do you understand my point, Chava?
Yes. They have the best-selling brand of a very hot category of alcohol right now.
Which is slowing down, frankly. But
you cannot find the word sustainability on their website.
No, you can't. And... I think then that begs the question, if this does not move the needle for sales, is there a reason to do it? Well, first, because this is sort of how you ask the two questions, I would argue it does actually change sales for some brands, right? Because there's absolutely a group of consumers. I don't know how large it is. Certainly not half the consumers, but there is a group of consumers that want to feel like their consumption is, well, they want to feel that their consumption isn't making a negative impact on the environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah. And it's going to be making some level of negative impact, as we've talked about, but if you can minimize that impact, like, I think they feel good about that. So I think
feel better. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like you could be the alternative to White Claw, and you know the person who's drinking that alternative that is more sustainable maybe feels good about that purchase, better about that purchase. I think that's certainly true.
Okay.
And then, but I think more than that, at the end of the day, why do companies do this? I'd like to think it's because they want companies, you know, not like the way the Supreme Court says it, but companies are people, right? I'm not saying that a company is a person, but I am saying that companies are comprised of individuals. I don't care how big White Claw is. It's not run by a computer. It's run by individuals.
That we know of, sure.
But individuals at the end of the day need to go to sleep. And, you know, a lot of people, they're not going to be focused on their impact on the environment, their impact on other human beings, their impact on nature, on animals. They're not. But a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think a lot of people, certainly I would argue that the people that we know who donate to Sacred, mm-hmm. And right, that I mean, whether we're talking individuals or we're talking the corporations, which again are made up of a bunch of people, all of the people that we talk to who make donations to Sacred do it because they really care about it.
Yeah, and I think it's over the top cynical to suggest that companies would only do stuff because it's going to drive them to have better sales.
I think, I would argue in some cases, in fact, like doing stuff like funding programs that we do through Sacred.
Puts them in a spot that it's complicated.
Yeah, it's a spotlight that gives people a way to attack them. And I think sometimes they'd be better off in terms of their actual marketing, better off not giving to Sacred. And they still do it, recognizing that they're going to get attacked for doing it.
Yeah, and to be absolutely honest, I've always been a tremendous optimist about that. Like I've worked with mostly very small institutions in my life. I've never worked with a very large scale entity.
Besides this podcast.
Yeah, because we have millions of dollars behind us.
Agave Road Trip Incorporated.
But yeah, like I even the most brutally pragmatic business people that I've ever met, they feel like, you know, they feel stuff, they see stuff, they even if they sometimes wonder pragmatism to win any emotional battle, that's just not possible. And I found that some of these very brutal pragmatic people are just, they're nice kids because they're so pragmatic that they don't want to destroy stuff. Sometimes they just don't have the options, or they haven't found a better way to do what they're doing. But, you know, like, if you're a person that gets a lot of happiness out of accomplishing stuff, you want to accomplish more, create more value in every way, shape, or form. And I at least, or maybe I've been super lucky, but a bunch of these people that have like larger capacities of making decisions or more money to throw, I found that they are really driven by creation of a broader value.
Yeah, you know, in general, I'd agree with that. I apparently have had contact with a broader swath of people than what? You have, because I've certainly met some who didn't care. But you know, to your point, I think to your point, you know, I've met so many people. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the challenges that face us as a species, right? It's really easy to be overwhelmed as we talk about, as I say to you, nothing is sustainable. We all need to be subsistence farmers, and we're not going to be. And so we're on a path to doom. It's easy to give in to that negative. But the truth is, you know, I think about all of the people who I've met, to your point, that just are leaders in industry and want to make things better and put their money where their mouth is. And that gives me hope that, you know, that we're going to find our way out of this
mess,
this path that we're on, because we have to. Because we have to.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, it's funny, as you were speaking, do you remember, of course you remember, our conversation with Alberto? I don't remember his last name. Do you, or does Future Chava remember
from the Gnome? We can just refer to him as Alberto, the guy that used to run the Gnomes in Mexico. I think that's fine.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about him and how that whole campaign that was about, you can't call our spirit Comille, that's not a word that we use. And he was really under attack for that. But the conversation we have with him, he's like, I just felt like these people who weren't part of this and didn't want to be part of this should have a word. Like, it was really, it was,
you know,
really...
in order to have more resources to market that, have more eyes on it, have more income for them. Yeah, and everybody jumped. Like he said, he said he felt like he was gonna be killed. He's like, yeah. I have people with machetes outside of my office.
Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, the end result is now we've got this really clunky phrase, agave spirits, that's used, which sounds a lot less romantic and a lot less interesting than Comille. It's interesting. I think it speaks to what you're calling the cynicism of the masses. And I would agree, like, the masses tend to be cynical, and the individuals that we meet within those masses always tend to be kind-hearted and focused on the right things, even if we may disagree in the end on what the strategy is to get to the right things.
That's a beautiful conclusion, Lou. I'm happy to finish this podcast right there.
I think I better shut up before I screw it up.
Well, Joven Lou, thanks a lot. I think it was very much needed for us to do this mini series. Again, like, I think it was too general. I think we're going to come back to a bunch of this stuff. But thanks. Thanks for making this possible,
right, Joven. Right back at you, brother. Hasta pronto.
Nos vemos. This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly, eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaili, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.
Out.